And we're going to hear from God's Word in Scripture. Our Bible reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19.
Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had to become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by his name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." The words of the Lord. Thanks be to you.
Thanks be to God, yes. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us. Lord, thank you that many, many years ago, there was a man called Jesus. And he looked up in that tree and saw the person that other people would push away. Father, we pray for your Son's presence to be with us today as we listen to your word being proclaimed. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we'll do the song after the sermon. Let's get into God's word. Let's get into God's word now. A number of our house groups have been using or are using some material that has been put together by the charity Livability, which is to do with mental health. And there are a number of Bible passages that they suggest that we look at. So some of you will already have been looking at these within your house groups. It's not my intention to talk much about mental health, except if you want to know a bit more of the background, please do have a look. It's called Livability. It's called Lifting the Lid. And the idea is that we should be lifting the lid on a discussion about mental health and how it affects people in church. And the reason that they first go to this story of Zacchaeus is that they want to talk about what it is to be valued. And the message from the material, and I guess from many of our own experience as well, is that people who experience mental health issues often don't feel particularly valued. There's a video that's part of the house group materials that talks quite a lot about this word stigma. People feel that people are looking down on them. You don't have to have a mental health issue to feel that sort of way. So often life is organized into people who are better than others. And some people feel they are being looked down on. Sometimes, God have mercy on us, we actually start looking down on other people and we think that they are better. We think that we are better than they are. So here is Zacchaeus. He wants to see Jesus. The Bible tells us that he is a short man. And there is a big problem because there are huge crowds who want to see Jesus and Zacchaeus can't work his way through the crowd. You know that experience of being in the crowd? A couple of Saturdays ago, Ruth and I, we went to see the Giants in Liverpool. And here we are ready. The Giants are just finishing their siesta. It's time to wake up. We're in a good position in the crowd. And I think, yeah, I'm going to see this really well. Do you know what happens next? All the parents put the little kids on their shoulders. And I'm thinking, it's not fair. I thought I'd found a really good position, and now it's not as good as I thought it was. And then I thought, well, you know, if Sam had been that age, of course I would have put him on my shoulders as well, because I was perfectly capable of just moving a foot or two to try and get a view. And of course, these little children, if they weren't on mum's or dad's shoulders, wouldn't have stood a chance to see what was going on. Zacchaeus is small. He's not able to see over the crowds. But he's not just small in terms of his height. He's small in terms of the way that people look at him. The last thing that the crowd at all would be expecting is that Jesus is going to go to Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus knows what it is to be stigmatized. Zacchaeus knows what it is that everybody else looks down. And when eventually it gets to the point of the story where Jesus and Zacchaeus go to the house together, people will say, well, what is Jesus going there for? But there's this great moment in this story. And this is the sort of the sentence from this story that has really struck me this week. That it says that Zacchaeus runs ahead. He climbs up this tree. I don't know how you imagine that scene. Do you imagine Zacchaeus as the only one up the tree? Or do you imagine that hundreds of people were climbing trees that day to see Jesus? I suspect, having had an experience of crowds a couple of weeks ago, that probably there were lots of people up trees that day. Maybe, maybe not. But anyway, Zacchaeus climbs this tree to get a view of Jesus. And it says that when Jesus reaches the spot, he looks up and he speaks to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was not used to people looking up at him because of his height, but also because of the sort of person that people thought he was. Everybody looked down upon him, and Jesus looks up. I want you to imagine that scene just for a moment. Put yourself in Zacchaeus' shoes, or perhaps put yourself in Zacchaeus' tree. You wanted to see Jesus. You climbed that tree. You're in the branches. And Jesus stops, and he's looking up at you. Just hold that thought for a minute. You don't have to say anything out loud. But what does it feel like that Jesus looks up to you? Not just physically, but he actually shows you respect. He shows you honor. You know, sometimes Christian worship can kind of become oh Lord, we're horrible sinners and we need to be forgiven. You know, and we sing songs that say things like, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Or the song that we're going to be singing later, you know, my sin was great, your love was greater. And these things are true. Jesus did die to solve the problem of our sins. And yet, here at this moment, Zacchaeus doesn't need somebody to tell him that he's a sinner. Zacchaeus doesn't need somebody to point out what's wrong with his life. Goodness me, people are doing that all the time. What Zacchaeus needs is somebody who will honor him and who will respect him. And here is Zacchaeus up that tree. Just imagine yourself in that position. And Jesus is looking up to you. And he's saying, Zacchaeus, I've got to stay at your house today. Jesus is honoring Zacchaeus by accepting what Zacchaeus has to offer. Zacchaeus is rich. Zacchaeus can do hospitality. Zacchaeus can put on a meal for Jesus. And Jesus looks at Zacchaeus and he says, Zacchaeus, I want you to do something for me. I think that is a wonderful part of our Christian gospel. You know, sometimes we act as Christians, God have mercy on us for this, But sometimes we act as if we're the ones who've got things together and we're here to help sort out the rest of the world. Well, the truth is that often Jesus calls us to accept the hospitality of the world. Jesus calls us to accept the welcome of the world. When he sends out his disciples on mission today together, he doesn't just say, go and help people, go and do something for them. He says, go and stay with people. Go and accept their hospitality. Go and find the people who will welcome you and live with them. And don't move around. Stay where it is that you are going. Now, last week, we were giving stuff for Food Bank. Hallelujah. Fantastic. 27 stones. Oh, I gave it away. 27 stones worth of weight. Of the goods last week. Fantastic, more than double what we had last year. It's great. That makes a difference. People will praise God for that. And we saw on the video about what we are doing, where we are through BMS supporting work in Afghanistan, and how the lives of babies are being saved because we in the West have knowledge that people in Afghanistan don't have. And how if they are stopped from making basic mistakes in hygiene, then many, many babies' lives can be saved. Now, these things are fantastic. Of course, where we have the resources to help other people, where we have the knowledge to help other people, then we should use the resources that we have and we should use the knowledge that we have. That, of course, is what Jesus wants us to do. And yet there is big spiritual danger there. The danger is that we think we're the ones who've got it together. The truth is we don't. The truth is that we struggle just as much as anybody else does. You know, I'm doing a harvest assembly at a school tomorrow, and I was trawling online for material about harvest festivals, trying to find a good story to tell. And I discovered something, that almost every assembly that I looked at went something like this. This is a very summarized version. Isn't it great that God gives us the harvest? Isn't it great that we have all these good things? Isn't it great that we have everything that we need? And isn't it good that we can take some of it and give it to other people? Do you see what's wrong with that? That's seriously wrong, brothers and sisters. We shouldn't be saying stuff like that. Because the fact is that in that assembly hall tomorrow, there will be children who didn't go hungry because of Food Bank. There are families there who don't have everything. There are families there who are deeply struggling. And how wrong to make out that we, whoever we may happen to be, are the ones who've got everything together. But the thing is, we make the similar mistakes in church. We make the mistake of thinking, oh, we belong to Jesus. We've got all the solutions. No, we don't. And here, Zacchaeus is up the tree. Jesus comes underneath where Zacchaeus is, and he makes the point of looking up at Zacchaeus. If we want to bring the good news of Jesus to people, if we want to show the love of Jesus to people, one of the things that we have to learn to do really, really well is to honor people and to respect them regardless of what people are saying that they have done. I actually suspect that the way the story of Zacchaeus has been told by Christians is wrong in a really important respect. It's often been said that Zacchaeus was a cheat. Look at the story again. Who says that Zacchaeus was a cheat? Does Jesus say that Zacchaeus was a cheat? No, he doesn't. It's the crowd that are saying that Zacchaeus is a cheat. Should we listen to this judgmental group of people and take them seriously?
Or should we listen to what Jesus is saying and look up and start honoring this man? Now, when Zacchaeus says, and this is wonderful, you know, he says, right, I'm going to give away half. You know, he's loaded. He can afford to do this. This isn't there to make us think all of us should give away half of what we own. But Zacchaeus says, I can give away half of what I own. And if I've cheated anybody, then I'm going to pay them back. How many times is it? Four times the amount. Now, I might be wrong here, but I think that sounds like a man who's saying that he's not a cheat. Because if Zacchaeus had made his wealth by cheating, he couldn't give away half of it and then repay back anyone he has cheated four times. He's saying, if there are a small number of people I've treated badly, then I'll give them loads of money back. And if this story is actually here to tell us that Jesus honored Zacchaeus, then it's telling us something about how we are to treat other people. Now, in case you think I'm reading more into the passage than it deserves, this story is actually the last in a line of passages in Luke chapter 18 and 19 that are all more or less dealing with the same theme. It starts with a story of two people go to pray, and it says that one of them looked down upon the other one, not because he was physically small. And this person who was praying to the Lord about how good he was. Oh, I've been to church, I put good money in the offering, I pray every day, I read my Bible every day, something like that, he said. And the other man, perhaps conscious of being looked down on by this other person, said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And Jesus says, this was the man who goes home justified. This is the one who goes home in the right before God. So if you want to get on the right side of God, if you want to get on the right side of Jesus, don't come in making out you're better than other people. Because if you do it, it backfires. The next story from Luke chapter 18 is a story about mums who want to bring their little children to be blessed by Jesus. And the disciples want to send them away. And Jesus, he's not at all happy about this. And he says, let the little children come to me. I want to see the little children. Very similar story to the Zacchaeus story, really. The ones that some people want to push away are the ones that Jesus actually wants to welcome. And then there's the story of a man, another rich man who comes to Jesus and starts asking Jesus questions. What do I do to get eternal life? And Jesus tells him to keep the commandments. And the man says to Jesus, well, I've kept all of these since I was a boy. Wrong move, people. Never come to Jesus saying that sort of thing. It backfires. Do you know what happens when we come to Jesus making out that we've done good? Jesus raises the bar. And he raises the bar to a point that we just can't get over it. If we think that we've passed the exam in being good, we suddenly find that the pass mark has gone up since we last looked. And this man who comes thinking I'm good finds that Jesus says not good enough. And he walks away. And then there's a story about a blind man who wants Jesus to heal him. And Jesus is passing by. And this blind man starts shouting, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people tell him to be quiet. It's another of these stories where people try to stop somebody else from getting through to Jesus. And they kept saying, be quiet, be quiet. But the more they tell him to be quiet, the louder he shouts, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then there's these wonderful words that it says, Jesus hears him. Jesus is so good at spotting the person who wants to get through to him. Woe betide the church if we are bad at it. Woe betide if we say, well, you're not good enough. Woe betide if we think we are better than you are. I read a wonderful article this week online. It was on the LICC, London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, one of their postings. And it was an article that was written by a mum who her child had not got into the primary school that she wanted to get the child into. And she, this is upside down here, she found herself in the playground of this school. And here's what they write. While Kirsten is waiting for her three kids to burst out of the primary school building, the dynamic between parents in the playground sounds almost geopolitical. Since Jules declared her aspirations for little Ginny to attend a private secondary school, Ellen has placed sanctions on her, meaning Aisha and Marie no longer trade chit-chat with her. Sarah and Pris have a bilateral agreement to never say more than three words to anyone except for each other. Then there's Gabora, the au pair, who feels like an obscure island nobody has ever heard of, let alone plans to visit. Annie used to have this problem, but that all changed the day the family she works for got a super cute Bichon Frise. I had to look that up. It's a really cute dog. I had no idea what that meant. The thing to note, it says, is that Kirsten is not here from a position of power. The vast majority of parents would consider themselves secular, and the most spoken about belief system is atheism. People are aware of my beliefs, and it challenges them. I'm never part of the in crowd, especially as I don't do playground gossip. But demonstrating grace and love to other parents and caregivers is a huge part of what God has led me to do here. Some people find themselves on the fringe, friendless. I'm sure we've all experienced it. The pain of being on your own in a crowd can be far more biting than that of being alone on your own. And so Kirsten makes a deliberate effort to frequent the ones who are forgotten. Jesus spots Zacchaeus in that tree. I read something recently about bosses and workplaces, and it said two of the key phrases that bosses need to master, one of them begins, "I notice." That a good boss can notice what is going on around him or her and is prepared to talk about it. And the other phrase that the boss needs to learn is the phrase that begins, "You matter." Well, if that is what is needed in a good boss, that is what Jesus is supremely able to do. Jesus says, "I notice you." Jesus notices the person who's praying, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner," and raises that person up. Jesus notices the little children that the disciples are trying to keep away from him. Jesus notices the blind man who is shouting out, and Jesus notices Zacchaeus up that tree. And whenever he sees us coming towards him and wanting to say, "Lord, I want to know you," he notices and he sees. Maybe this morning you've made what you think is only the slightest move towards Jesus. Well, Jesus has seen you. And Jesus looked up to you just like he looks up to Zacchaeus on that tree. He says, "I respect you." He says, "I want to talk with you." He says, "I want to enjoy your company." And I missed out one of the stories from Luke 18, which actually is the most important one of all. It's the story of Jesus himself that he tells. He says what's going to happen to him. He says that he's going to be handed over. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be insulted. He's going to be spat on. He's going to be flogged. And he's going to be killed. That's the story of Jesus. Oh, yes, and he's going to rise again. But let's think of the suffering for a minute. I'll tell you why I believe today Jesus has got so much love for people who feel that others are looking down upon them. Or for people who perhaps feel that they are not worthy to be part of God's people today. Here's the reason Jesus can feel for them. Because he's been there himself. Because he's been rejected. He's been spat on. He's been flogged. He's been told that he's got a demon in him. He's been told that he's out of his mind. And he went into that. And when we look down on people, what he tells us is that we're not just looking down upon them. We're looking down on him. Because I don't think that anybody has ever been rejected quite as Jesus was rejected. So, hey, let's not be people who look down on people, because when we look down on people, we find that Jesus is there too. It's the problem with the rich man, not Zacchaeus the rich man, the other rich man that we've mentioned today. You know, Jesus says to him, come and join my group of people. Sell what you've got. Get rid of all your ideas that you're better than others. Get rid of the things that make you think you're superior to others. And come and follow me. And boy, will you be blessed in the process. Jesus says, when you leave things behind to follow me, you'll get many. You'll get much, much more back afterwards. Jesus was incredibly good at selecting the people that other folk would overlook. Fishermen, tax collectors, people left jobs that paid well to follow Jesus because he brought them in and he said to them things like this. He said, you are the light of the world. And they went, who, us? Yes, you. As he says to us today. Because that's the thing. Jesus says, whoever humbles themselves will be exalted. Whoever starts by saying, I'm not better than others. I've got a load of issues. I've got a load of problems. Jesus says, come on, I'll lift you up. I'll make you someone special. And just as I was lifted up when people were saying about me, all that sort of things, I'll lift you up and I'll raise you up and I'll make you something wonderful. But if you come to Jesus saying, I am something wonderful, Jesus says, sorry, but there's only one thing I can do with you, and that's bring you back down again. And that's what he does to that rich man within the story. It's great, this. Jesus has come, it says at the end of our reading today, to seek and save those who are lost. That's not talking about other people than you or me. We're the lost. We're the people who lose our way. Praise God that he sent Jesus today. And today say to the Lord, Lord, I want to reach out to you. Lord, I want to know you. I want to learn what it means to follow you. And if today we found ourselves that we do look down on other people, let's repent of that. Let's turn from that. And let's say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Because I tell you, he raised Jesus. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who is now raised up and declared to be Lord of everything. Oh, may we learn what it is to follow in his ways. Let's be quiet for a moment. If this morning you think you want to come to the Lord saying that you're a sinner and that you need to be saved, that's great. Just do it. Just do it before God today. Jesus loves that sort of prayer. He says that's the way to go home in the right with God today. If, on the other hand, you've come thinking I'm better than others, then probably you need to repent of that. It's so easy to do, so easy to slip into. And Jesus knows that, and he can deal with it. Just offer him who you are today. You know, if Jesus was so good at noticing and saying that people matter, perhaps now it would be good to pray as you talk to the Lord and say to the Lord, well, what do you want me to notice this week? What do you want me to see that I'm not currently seeing? Who is the person like Zacchaeus in my life that I need to speak to and start honoring and respecting? Or like the blind man who's shouting out, or the children who are being brought to Jesus, but other people are trying to push them away. And God calls us to put our arms around them and to welcome them. Lord, who do you want us to see? What do you want us to open our eyes to within this next week? What do you want us to see in our families? What do you want us to see in the places where we work? What do you want us to see in the places where we socialize? Lord, who are the people that need to know that Jesus is looking up to them today, even if they think that the church will look down upon them? Father, speak to each one of us, we pray. We want to be like Jesus. We want to follow him. We want to be part of that group that Jesus calls together, and he says to us, you are the light of the world. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear us this morning. Amen.